You are listening to an Elam Christian Center podcast. We hope that you are inspired, encouraged, and empowered by the message you are about to hear.
So good to be here with you. It is an awesome privilege to get to share this. And I want to start today by asking you a question. Let me ask you a question this morning. What did you do on Wednesday? What did you do on Wednesday? What were you doing on Wednesday? You know, Wednesday, halfway between Monday and Friday. Did you realize that it was Wednesday, 2,000 years ago, that Judas was making his decision to betray Jesus? That happened on a Wednesday. Wednesday, he was meeting with the Pharisees. Wednesday, he was uttering those words. He was bartering for Jesus as well. He was negotiating a price to betray him. That happened on Wednesday. Timeline gets pretty real, right, when you think about it like that. You know, each day this last week, very significant things were happening. And I believe on each one of those days, powerful lessons for us. And I want to take us on a bit of a journey just quickly over the last week, if you'll come with me. Because I believe God's got something powerful for you today from what he's been doing. Let's do that. You see, for Jesus, his final week started last Sunday. You know what they call it? They call it Palm Sunday. You might have heard that, Palm Sunday. 2,000 years ago, Jesus enters Jerusalem for the last time. And he enters the crowds waving palm branches and welcoming him as a king. Let me read this to you from John chapter 12, verses 12 to 15. It says, the next day, the great crowd that had come for the festival, the Passover festival, heard that Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem, and they took palm branches and they went out to meet him, shouting, Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the King of Israel. The King of Israel. Jesus found a young donkey and he sat on it. As it is written, do not be afraid, daughter Zion. See, your king is coming, seated on a donkey's colt. On Sunday, crowds, they wanted to crown Jesus. And yet just 5 days later, on Friday, the same crowds wanted to crucify Jesus. I mean, like, what a powerful lesson, right? On how fickle people can be. Let me say to you this morning, people will change their opinion of you at various times of your life, but here's the thing, God won't. And I tell you what, we've got to learn not to build our identity on what people say or what we think people think about us. We need to build our identity on what God says about who we are. Jesus saw it so clearly, and we must too. Let me read this, John chapter 2. Now, while he was in Jerusalem at the Passover festival, many people saw the signs he was performing and believed in his name. But Jesus, listen to this, would not entrust himself to them, for he knew all people. And Jesus wept over Jerusalem, right? I mean, he loved these people, and yet he also knew these were the people who had stoned the prophets, who had killed every messenger God sent to them, and he knew that they would do the same to him. It's Sunday, and we must learn to wholly entrust ourselves to God and not to people or people's praise. Sunday, and then it was Monday. You know, it's called Holy Monday. And on Holy Monday, Jesus cleared the temple. Let me ask you, what were you doing on Monday? Monday, I was working. It was an unbelievably frustrating day. I had a terrible night's sleep. I got up, I had to put a sermon series together, and I spent hours on it and got absolutely nowhere. It was just one of those unbelievably frustrating days. I don't know if you've had a frustrating day. But on Monday, Jesus came in from Bethany where he'd spent the night. He'd been in the temple on Sunday and he had taken a good long look, and now on Monday, he is back and he is on a mission. Mark 11, 15 to 18, on reaching Jerusalem, Jesus entered the temple courts and began driving out those who were buying and selling there. He overturned the tables of the money changers and the benches of those selling doves, and he would not allow anyone to carry merchandise through the temple to the courts. And as he taught them, he said, "Is it not written, 'My house will be called the house of prayer for all nations,' but you have made it a den of robbers." On Monday, Jesus addressed an evil that he had seen since he was a boy. Religion being used for personal gain. Religion being used for greed and selfish ends, taking advantage of people who are powerless to protest. And this is so interesting, right? Because the Jews were expecting a Messiah to come and confront the Romans, their cruel oppressors. And what actually happened was, Jesus came and went to the temple to confront them for their sin. They didn't see it coming. What a powerful lesson for us today, team. You know, when Jesus comes, he comes first to us. He wants us to deal with the sin in our temple, in our life, in our world. He knows that the enemy on the inside is far more dangerous than the enemy on the outside. The lesson today is, man, clear up your own temple before you try to change the world. Let me ask you, if Jesus came to you today to deal with things in your life because he loves you, what is it that he might want to drive out from your heart, from your life today? And that was Monday. And then it was Tuesday. Tuesday is called Holy Tuesday. This is a very powerful day because on this day, Jesus faces his mortality. John chapter 12. And Jesus replied, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Very truly, I tell you, unless a kernel of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains only a single seed, but if it dies, it produces many seeds. Anyone who loves their life will lose it, while anyone who hates their life in this world will keep it for eternal life. Whoever serves me must follow me, and where I am, my servant also will be. My Father will honor the one who serves me. Now my soul is troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour? No. No, it's for this very reason I came to this hour." What were you doing on Tuesday? On Tuesday, Jesus came in from Bethany again, and he comes to the temple and he sees that everything is already back to normal. And he knows that there is no other way. There is no other way but for him to go through what he has to go through for the sins of the world. Jesus faced his mortality on Tuesday. And here's the lesson. You've got to realize that one of these days, your days are going to come to an end. There is wisdom in realizing that, because in that place, we find ourselves living intentionally. Let us live intentionally. Do what matters. Don't waste your time doing things that just don't matter. You know what? You are heaven bound. Don't worry about that. Just get on and live intentionally today. You know, I heard the story. I love the story of a lady who once went to a guy called John Wesley. John Wesley was the founder of the Methodist Church. And she asked him this question. She said to John Wesley, she said, "Pastor, if you knew that you would die at midnight tomorrow, how would you spend this intervening time?" And he replied with surprise, "Why, madam, just as I intend to spend it now." He said, "I'd preach this evening at Gloucester and again at 5 tomorrow morning. After that, I'd ride to Tewkesbury, preach in the afternoon, meet the home groups in the evening. I'd then go to Martin's house." Martin was a friend of his. "Talk and pray with the family as usual. Retire myself to my room at 10 o'clock. Commend myself to my heavenly Father. Lie down to rest and wake up in glory." Let me ask you this morning, can you say like John Wesley that if this was your last day, that you would spend it exactly as you intended to spend it now? Jesus did. Live each day so that if you knew it was your last, you would live no differently. And so we find ourselves on Wednesday. Wednesday is called Spy Wednesday in tradition. Spy has a dual meaning. It also means ambush. It's that sense that comes to this because Wednesday, Jesus was ambushed by Judas. He was betrayed. Matthew 26, 14 to 16. And then one of the 12, the one called Judas Iscariot, went to the chief priests and asked him, "What are you willing to give me if I deliver him over to you?" And so they counted out for him 30 pieces of silver. And from then on, Judas watched for an opportunity to hand him over. Jesus spent the day in Bethany. He didn't go into Jerusalem this day. And it's a fascinating story of what happened in Bethany because the moment of his greatest betrayal came out of one of Jesus's greatest actions of loyalty. Jesus has been trying to communicate to the disciples that he's going to die. This is going to happen. And Mary, this woman who had had a sinful past, she comes to him in front of everyone in desperation. And she anoints him. She pours a whole gigantic bottle of perfume over him in front of all the disciples. And they start climbing into her and criticizing her for this wastage. And Jesus stands up and defends her. He shows his loyalty to her for what she was doing, totally showing her love for him. And in that moment, it says, Judas went out. That was when the offense got in. That was when Judas made the decision to betray Jesus. Let me say to you, in life at some point, people, you will be betrayed. You will be let down by somebody. You will be hung out to dry, sometimes even by those you thought were your friends. And Jesus shows us that while that may define them, it does not define you. Many years ago, I was ambushed by someone. I was let down by an older person in the faith. I'd done a whole bunch of work. I was pretty confident this was going to bring me into great favor with my senior pastor, and this older person went and took it all for himself as if he had done all the work and pitched it and he got all the favor and all the glory. And man, I tell you what, it really messed me up. I had nowhere to go. I had nothing to say. It changed the way I thought about myself. And it changed the way I thought about the security of my life. Was my future really in God's hands? Because it sure looks like it's in the hands of men. I even understood why he did it. I don't think it was malicious. And what he thought was going to help him in the end. You know, God has a funny way of working things out. I want to say he did it. It's life. I've forgiven him. I'm friends with him today. But boy, I tell you what, I had to do some work. I had to let it go. I had to refuse to let it define me. I want to say some of us here today have been betrayed. We have been let down. We've been hurt deeply. And we've struggled for years, some of us, wondering what we did. Did we deserve that? Should we have done something differently? Worried that our future is uncertain. Let me say to you today, refuse to be defined for one more moment by someone else's act of betrayal. Here it is, betrayal comes, you know what? And it goes. Like Jesus, walk on. God has great things ahead for you. Amen. And so Thursday, The week is tearing to its conclusion. It's called Maundy Thursday. Jesus washes the disciples' feet. And Maundy comes from the Latin word mandatum, which means commandment. And this is from what Jesus did on Thursday when he commanded his disciples to love one another. This was the big commandment. This is what I want you to do. Let me read this passage to you. Because Jesus didn't just say it, he showed it. John 13, Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power and that he had come from God and was returning to God. And so he got up from the meal, he took off his outer clothing, he wrapped a towel around his waist, and after that he poured water into a basin and he began to wash his disciples' feet, drying them with the towel that was wrapped around him. Thursday, yesterday, what were you doing yesterday? On Thursday, Jesus awoke from his last sleep, ate his last breakfast. He traveled into Jerusalem again from Bethany, but that evening he stopped at the Mount of Olives to pray, and that was where Judas would ultimately lead the soldiers to him in the early hours of the morning. And this is fascinating, right? Jesus had everything prepared. There's no rushing. There's no frantic action. He ate the Last Supper and he said to them, "I have longed to eat this Last Supper with you." What courage. And how clear do you think it was in Jesus' mind? The first Last Supper, the first Passover, the first Passover meal, a nation about to be miraculously delivered from 400 years of slavery. But the clincher was that in order to see that happen, Israel had to kill a lamb. And they had to take the lamb and they had to put the blood on their houses so that when the avenging angel came over, the angel passed over that house. Because the angel saw the blood of the lamb that was on the door of that house, the blood that said, "These ones are forgiven by God. These ones are declared blessed. These ones are protected by God." And now Jesus was going to be the lamb. And now for the disciples, right? His final lesson. The thing that encapsulated everything that Jesus had done and was, this week is now almost at an end, and Jesus is doing everything with great purpose and great intentionality. What was his final action? When there is only time for one more thing in his whole life, what is Jesus going to do? And Jesus, God in the flesh, took the place and position of a servant, and with his hands and a towel and a basin of water, he got on his knees before these men and he washed their dirty feet. You know, life's great purpose, team, is to serve others. In whatever way we can, however we can, whenever we can, wherever we can, the last word is serve one another, love one another, even if it's just cleaning somebody's dirty feet. And then all of a sudden, it's now Friday, Good Friday. And Jesus is tortured and he's publicly mocked and then he is crucified. Luke 23, when they came to the place called the Skull, they crucified him there along with the criminals, one on his right and the other on his left. And Jesus said, "Father, forgive them. They do not know what they are doing." And they divided up his clothes by casting lots. Jesus had to count the cost and carry his cross and fulfill what he came for. We each have to realize in this life that doing anything that makes a difference will cost us. You know, every person I know who ever did anything that mattered had to pay a cost, had to walk a little differently, had to live a little differently. Let me say for you, there will be a cost for whatever it is God has called you to do. So you know what? Own it. Take up your cross. Make peace with your cost. And go and make a difference in what God has called you to do. I'm gonna ask the team to come and join me now as we come towards the conclusion. I think we're all okay down there. I think the team looking after somebody. So church, here we are on Friday. But this isn't the end of the story. This isn't the end of the story. While those around Jesus on Friday didn't see it, Jesus did. He knew that Sunday was coming. You see, despite how it appeared, Jesus' life wasn't taken from him. He gave it. He gave it. He handed it over because that was the cost to gain the salvation of the world. You see, he knew that God would win. Death was about to be defeated. The abandoned one would soon be coming back because he refused to abandon us. The Savior was saving even when it seemed that all was lost. Gosh, I love that this is our story. Let me challenge you. For a moment, can we cast our mind back over this week? Can you see that everything can change in a week? Let me say to you, what might change in your week, this week, if we could just learn from the Master to build our identity on what God says, not on what people say? If we could just clear out what needs to be cleared out from our life first before we go and try and solve everyone else's problems? If we could face our mortality today and live intentionally, if we could make peace with betrayal and no longer let it define us, if we could embrace the great purpose of our life to serve others, to love one another, if we could understand that there will be a cost to live a life that makes a difference, so accept it, make peace with it, get on with it. And when you're stuck on a Friday, when you're stuck in a place that feels like defeat, that looks like death, that seems to be lost, remember that Jesus most certainly is not done yet. Amen. So we're going to take a moment now together and we're going to take communion. Hopefully everyone's got elements of communion. If you don't have the little elements of communion, if you didn't get one when you came in, just where you're sitting, if you just put your hand up nice and tall, one of our team would love to bring that to you. You know, Jesus on that last meal, when he was with his disciples, he took some bread. Doesn't matter what it is, bread, crackers, pizza. But he took some bread and he broke it and said, this is what's gonna happen to me. And I want you to do this because I'm doing this for you. And as often as you come together, do this. And then he took some wine and it could have been juice, it could have been Coca-Cola, it could have been anything. But he was like, this, I want you to drink this because my blood is gonna pour out and I'm giving my blood for you, for your sins. That's what I'm doing. And I want you to remember that. Because in the breaking of my body and the shedding of my blood is the victory that will destroy sin, that will disempower death, and that will change everything for you.
Thank you for listening to this Elam Christian Center podcast. Please subscribe to keep hearing more life-changing messages. For more information about our church, please visit www.elamchristiancenter.org.nz.